Thank you very much indeed. Great for singing for us tonight. I'd like to welcome Rodney tonight, Uncle Rodney. We've had a great week last week. All the boys and girls would agree with that, and the leaders. And God blessed, brought the children in, and had a great time going God's word. We welcome you back tonight again, Uncle Rodney. Pray the Lord will bless you tonight as you bring his word to us again. Thank you.
Thank you, Tommy, for your kind words of welcome. And can I say it was a real joy this week, as it always is, when I come to visit with the people in Portadown. I've met many friends over the years, and I've known them for many years. And, of course, fellowship and friendship in the Lord. And we are laborers together. And it's always a privilege to present the gospel to boys and girls. That is a real privilege. Little children, and they need the Savior. And I want us to come just in a moment or two to the Word of God. And we've been thinking this week of the life of Paul. We've been considering the conversion of Paul himself on the Damascus Road. And then, of course, we thought of different people that came to the Lord. There were all different types of people. And we learned that Jesus can save those types of people. And we looked at them this week. But on one of the occasions this week, one worker gave me a little poem. The author's unknown, but it is entitled Challenge. And I feel I should just read it before we come to the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart. I want you to listen to this. The future walks on children's shoes, for better or for worse. For some will learn to love God's word, while others learn to curse. For Satan is so very real, and in this world today, these precious little children's minds can be such easy prey. But while their hearts are young and bright, and thoughts so quickly led, that's when we should prepare them for whatever lies ahead. And if their hearts are won for Christ, each one a precious jewel, the Master's hand can make each one a dedicated tool. And I believe that every Christian worker should get a copy of that poem, because I believe it is very true. It was a challenge to my heart. And I know the Lord has been with us this week. And he's been blessing us. He's been one of our number, we would say. And it's good to see the boys and girls that are here tonight. And we've been telling them all week, bring your granny, bring your granda, your mummy or your daddy. So if you brought them with you tonight, let me know who they are, as they might want to see who this person is that's been at the mission all week. Two friends I will mention that I met this week. One of them's his hair all nicely gelled up tonight. You call him Jack. And I said I have to get the name of the gel. Mummy plays the pianist. You have to tell me what the gel is. And the other was Todd. Can't forget Todd. And I think it was Tuesday night he blamed me for eating 12 sausages. And 6 of the sticks were his. But anyway, it was good to see them. And I trust that the Lord will bless us even tonight. Now I want you to sit up, fold your arms and face the front, because we're going to talk to everybody tonight. And we were thinking this week of the Philippian jailer. And Ruth was reading the portion of Scripture. And I want us to turn to that portion again tonight in Acts chapter 16. And I want to think of it in maybe a slightly different light. And of course, a message to every one of our hearts. The greatest question of the Bible. What must I do to be saved? Verse 31. And then Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. Verse 31 says the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. With our Bibles open, could we pause for a word of prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your goodness to us. We thank thee for each head bowed in thy presence, for every home that's represented. We pray, Father, that you'll bless the work of God in this place. We thank thee for the emphasis this week upon the children, boys and girls, and those that have sought to win them for Jesus. Pray that you'll keep our workers faithful. Keep our churches faithful to the blood and the book, that they might lift up a living Christ, one that sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. We pray that as we consider this great question of the Bible, that you'll give us listening ears and understanding hearts to receive the good seed of the word. That boys and girls will understand it. that the teenagers will be gripped by thy word, that mums and dads and grannies and grandas might not only see their need of a Saviour, but they'll come. Oh, so many know, so many see, but not so many come. We pray that that will be so in this meeting tonight. Help this preacher lift us far above ourselves into the hollow of your hand and bring the needed quietness, stillness across this gathering for Jesus' sake. Amen. You know, when it comes to questions, kids are in a class of their own. And I read a story recently of a 9-year-old girl, and she asked her mum and dad a question. She said, "Where did I come from?" And of course, mum and dad thought very sensitively. They would gather all the books together, they would think it all out, and then they would sit down and explain. So they took a couple of weeks and gathered the little girl in, and they sat down and they explained what they thought was the answer to her question. And after they were finished, dad said to the little girl, he said, "Did that answer it for you?" And she said, "No, not really, Daddy. When I asked my friend at school, Marcia, where she came from, she said Florida." So you see, my friends, mum and dad thought they had the answer to the question, but they were missing it. And you know, in the day and age in which we live, it is so easy to miss the nuggets of the gospel. To answer the question that's before us, what must I do to be saved? And yet the English here gives it, and plain it gives it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not believe on Bethany Free Presbyterian Church. Not believe on Rodney Mitchell. But Jesus Christ. So Dad here had all the explanations. He thought that he didn't answer the question. I want us very quickly tonight to consider this question of the Bible. The Philippian jailer. Clavis Chapel said that the jailer asked the greatest question. He asked the biggest question ever from human lips. There was none greater for him, none greater for you, and none greater for me. What must I do? I'm glad, you know, that on Friday the 13th of August 1982, I asked the question, and someone took me to the Word of God and gave me the answer. That's what I sought to do this week. Sought to bring it from God's Word. You know, it's a good practice in children's meetings to read the Word of God. Stories sometimes can be familiar, but take the Word, even if it's only a little portion of the Scripture that the stories contain, then read the Word. And if children have their Bibles, let them turn them up or give them out Bibles and bring them in again if there's some the church have. Good practice in turning up the Scriptures. So let me ask you tonight, mums and dads, grannies and grandas, boys and girls that have listened so attentively this week. How can I be saved? How, preacher, can I be saved? Do you need to ask that tonight? I trust that I'll be able to give you, by God's help, the answer. Now, there's three things I want you to notice. Three of them. Just three. So you're going to sit up really good and listen. All right? And you mums and dads, you'll be sitting up too. Because I told the boys and girls this week, don't be talking when I'm talking. You know that, Tommy. Tommy sits very good in the children's meeting, you know. He does. He's very biddable. Not right, Wilsley? But you know, you sit up, fold your arms, face the front, because I don't stay where I'm not wanted. And if you're talking when I'm talking, I think you're talking about me. And you know what happens? I go home early. Now, Mark has been with me every night this week. He never missed. He slept the whole road up. And he slept the whole road down. He was my navigator. And I've got to thank him publicly for coming. He was good. But he doesn't like me yapping and crying. So listen, you're going to sit up and not talk, so you're not. Shh. All right. Three things. And then our meeting will be over. The first thing I want you to notice is the miracle that the jailer's seen. He's seen a miracle. And the first thing I'm reminded of tonight is that searching hearts are always the result of stirred hearts. I believe the hearts of boys and girls have been stirred this week. Children were coming up and asking questions. They were interested, and that's a good thing. Searching hearts are always the result of stirred hearts. What do I refer to, mums and dads? I refer to how God works in a person's life to bring them to the place where they want to be saved and ask the question, what must I do? Now, two very quick things about this miracle. What brought him to his knees? Two wee things. First of all, the difference he saw in the people of God. I'd never really thought of this before. But the first thing the jailer seen was two prisoners, and they were different. Now, of course, the prisoners that were there would be vile. There would be filthy language spewing from their mouths. They would be the hardest of hard, the meanest of mean. And so too would the jailer be. He would be no softy. He was a big, tough guy. But on this occasion, it's two prisoners and they're different. Paul and Silas had been preaching. You know, we've read it this week. And they're stripped of their clothing. They're beaten and they're cast into a dark prison. Into a dark old prison. Not a fancy place. There'd be rats in it. We don't like that. Be dark and cold. But verse 25 of Acts chapter 16, and if you have your Bible open, follow. It says, and Ruth read the scripture, starting at verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. We've been learning this week, read your Bible. Pray every day if you want to grow. One little girl asked me this week, she said, I've asked Jesus into my heart, is it really so important to read your Bible and pray every day? It is. Big people, get that into your heart and mind. If you're a Christian, it's important you do it every day. What were we learning this week? Satan's at his work. Sometimes when big people come into meetings like this, in children's meetings, boys and girls come in, when they're asked to come to the Lord Jesus, they think, well, oh, what about my friends? And how would I tell my mommy and daddy? And how would I go to school tomorrow? And I was explaining to them that Satan at his work. He's putting you off. So here Paul and Silas, they're praying. But what else are they doing? They're singing. I don't think I'd have been singing in the prison. I don't think I'd have been sleeping. I'd have one eye open and one eye closed for the creepy crawlies and all them things. And I don't think I'd like it at all. But they were singing. You see, a life, a testimony. God uses his people to bring others to Christ. That's why your minister speaks from the pulpit. That's why the workers of the Friday night meeting are always there. They want to be a witness. They want to win you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, is that so? That as boys and girls look at other Christians or big people, as we look at them, do we see that they're different? But not only did he see that they were different. And we learned this week that old things are passed away. And when we ask the Lord into our hearts and our lives and we turn on to God, he makes us different. Changes us. The people of God. But he saw a demonstration of the power of God. Because it tells us in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken and immediately all the doors were open. Now this was more than a natural occurrence. This, I believe, was a supernatural event. Demonstration of the power of God. It wasn't a performance. See, we don't want performances. It was a demonstration of God's power. You know, the greatest evangelical tool at our disposal is God's power. And the greatest harvest of souls in history has been when there's been a soul awakening, a shaking, a demonstration of God's power. So the miracle, this miracle that he saw was a difference in God's people. And it was used to bring him to where he would be saved. Often when I think of older folks, mums and dads, that have heard the gospel so many years, and grannies and grandas, I often think, what will the earthquake be in your life? What will be the shattering thing that will come that will make you realize there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun? Will God have to take your health? Lay you at death's door? Will God have to take your wealth? I wonder what it will be. You see, God uses the methods of the preacher. The message of a friend, the message of a soul winner knocking at your door, or maybe it's your neighbor or the children's worker. to bring you to the Savior. So there's a miracle here. And we need to learn that God makes a difference. And He can make a difference to your wee lives tonight. Mums and dads, He can make a difference to your life. You've heard it over and over again. But you've never come. You've agreed with God, you're a sinner. You say, Rodney, I agree. I believe that Jesus is the only Son of God, our Savior. But you've not taken the step. Oh, we thought of that this week. There's a lovely leather chair. Remember that? Up on the pulpit in the assembly hall. And I looked at that lovely chair and I thought, I'd love to sit in that. And Barbara says, well, go on up and sit on it. What's keeping you? And I says, Barbara, I don't know if you should or not. And she said, go. But you know what I had to do? I had to take the first step. You could think about asking Jesus into your heart. And I believe many of these young people this week are thinking about it. But I'd never have been sitting in that lovely chair nice and comfortably after the meeting was over if I didn't take the step. If I didn't start the race. Oh, we don't want to be spectators in the football field. It's better to be there in the race. Running the track. You could know all about how to run round a track in a field and, oh, tell them how to do it. But you need to be in the race. Many people know the way to heaven. Boys and girls, I'm convinced you know the way. People that are gathered here by Lord's Day, you know the way. But you've never come. Secondly, quickly, the message that was shared with them. What was the message that Paul and Silas shared with the prisoner? With this jailer? Verse 27 tells us, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. You see, the penalty for the jailer was instant death. Instant death. You couldn't explain it. He wouldn't have had time to explain it. He'd have been killed immediately. And he was about to kill himself. We showed that picture this week. But the answer comes in verse 28, because Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And then he asked the question. You see, God was preparing the jailer, preparing his way. He'd brought him to the right place. I said this week, many nights in the children's meeting, you're not at home watching TV, you're not out in the park, or you're not doing anything else. You've been stopped. We were all gathered in just like they are tonight, and you're here and you're listening. You've been stopped. Maybe tonight, others that are gathered here, God's preparing you. That's why you're here. That you might hear the word, that you might respond. Of course, Paul gives the answer. And in his answer, in this message that they share with the jailer, they tell him about two things. Many things? Many. Two things. Don't be sleeping. I'm nearly finished. Two things he shares with them. He shares the person of salvation and he shares the promise. Two words beginning with P. Person and promise. I was reading in preparation of this message of a Christian radio station. And they were asking, what is Christianity and who is Jesus? One said, oh, it's the American way of life. Another said, Jesus is the pure essence of energy. Oh, Jesus is a good man. What is Christianity? Another said, I'm not really sure. I don't know. But Paul and Silas explained that salvation was the result of a person putting their faith in Christ. Do you know what society says today? Do the best you can. Live as good as you can. That's what God expects. Be baptized. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. But Paul and Silas declared Christ the person. I haven't been here to tell the story of Jack and the Beanstalk this week. Sure wasn't. No. Met Jack right enough. But I was here to tell the boys and girls of Jesus. A Savior that you need. one door and only one. Jesus says, I am the door. Christ's the way out of into heaven. He's the way out of our sin. And often men and women leave gospel services like this. And it might not be what their lips are saying, but it's what their heart's telling them. No! And they hope of heaven. So Paul and Silas shared this message. Remember the miracle? Here's the message. They shared the person, Jesus, but they also shared a promise. You see, this week in this children's mission, I wasn't asking the children to trust in the Lord Jesus and that's all right, on you go. Sort yourself out. But there was a promise here. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not might be, not could be. Thou shalt. And the answer that Paul and Silas gave the jailer was the assurance that if they by faith receive Christ, they would be saved. Thou shalt be saved. No conditions, no restrictions. Simple promise, if they trust Christ, they would be saved. And that's what I sought to tell you this week. And I'm making no apology for saying again tonight. God will give you eternal life. And on the authority of God's word, thou shalt be saved. Certain, sure, the account settled. And no one ever came to the Savior and was turned away, bless his holy name. So they share the person, that's Christ. And listen, it's the same Christ for you tonight. The promise is still the same. He promises, thou shalt be saved. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But lastly, very quickly, what was the first word? It was a miracle, wasn't it? It was, wasn't it, Barbara? Yeah. Then there was the message. Now here's the man himself that was saved. Because you see, some people say, well, really, you know, it's easy to talk about getting saved and people asking Jesus Christ into their heart and trusting in Christ. And remember the night we learned about the rope bridge and carrying the people over? They had to put their trust in the man that was carrying them over the rope bridge, for they were afraid. But this man was saved. It's real, you know. And two very quick things. He experienced salvation. And then there was evidence. And that's important if you're to take the step. There'll be the experience. And there'll be evidence of it. Verse 34, and we often don't read down this far. Often we stop at verse 31. But in verse 34... it says, and when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them, listen to this, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Notice those words, believing in God. He asked, what must I do? And he did as he was told. You see, that's an important thing to do. Doing what you're told. When Rodney says, sit up in the meeting and fold your arms and face the front, I mean it. Your mommy says, do a wee job for me. Maybe when you're asked to help with the dishes, you say, I have to go somewhere else. That happens in my house too. And there's a dishwasher. But everybody's somewhere to go. Oh, I have to go. And before mummy's the sink finished, they've all disappeared. It's not all of the time, I have to say, but on the occasion. But he did what he was told. He believed, and in the moment he was saved. Notice also in verse 34, it says, and rejoiced. See, Jesus makes you happy. Maybe you think he couldn't save me. You don't know all about my life. We learned this week Jesus can save the bully at school. He's able to save Lydia, the rich woman. He's able to save Paul or Saul in the Damascus Road. He hated the Christians. He was putting them in prison. But God stopped him. God's stopping you tonight. We can't hear the cars in Porta downtown. We can't hear what's going on outside. You're listening. You're focused. He rejoiced. That word rejoiced literally means he jumped for joy. The heavy burden was lifted. The fear of dying was gone. I can hear him shouting, you know, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. And I like that word saved. It's a good Bible word. It speaks of deliverance from the penalty of sin. It speaks of deliverance from the wrath to come, never to spend eternity in hell. Now lastly, there was evidence. You see, works will not save you, but works will follow. And listen, I've seen it displayed this week. I've never seen such a dedicated team of people. Some of them just off their machine at work, straight here. Others just knew their spot to sit, knew what they had to do in the meeting. Nobody had to be told, go there. Everybody had the initiative to know, and everybody willing. That's dedication, and they're serving the Lord. Straightway it says in verse 33, and he was baptized. Look at the end of the verse. He and all his straightway. He was serving immediately. And when he brought them into his house, he sat meat before them. My, he was serving. You know, someone said, and with this I'm closed, salvation's like the measles. Have you ever heard the measles? Why, the chicken pox. Oh, I remember it as well. I didn't like it. And the measles, all the wee spots out all over you. Well, you know, I was reading this. Someone said salvation's like the measles. If you have it, it'll pop out all over you. I wonder, Christian, is it popping out all over you? Are you shining for others? In other words, salvation was evident. This wasn't a profession. This was a possession. Philippian jailer was a new man. Look at the memory verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We learned about the old coat. Remember that? Coming up to Christmas, you put your old coat on, you give it to the charity shop or you give it to somebody else and then you get a nice new one. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I wonder, will you come to the Savior tonight? Will you ask him to be your Savior? Older folks in the meeting, I speak to you as well because you haven't been at the children's meeting this week, and I can tell you the message is no different. Jesus saves. If you've never asked him to be your Savior, then do it tonight. Boys and girls, you've been thinking about it this week. Some of you are so interested, almost persuaded, but you need to come. Will you come tonight? Come and speak to me. Maybe some of the workers, you say, well, I know Barbara well, or I know Sylvia well. Sylvia has a good hand with the children. I was watching her this morning. I think it was Dorothy and her, and they were conducting. I could see them through a glass window when I was arriving at church, and they had them just all eaten out of their hands. Maybe Sylvia you know better. Maybe it's John or Zoe or Joanne or Ruth or Woolsey. There's many others. Go and speak to them. For those that are gathered in tonight, maybe your child is sitting here and they have asked Jesus into their heart. And you know they're going to heaven and they've been telling you about it. Then, Daddy, you need to come. Mommy, you need to come. Granny, you need to come. Granda, you need to come. Because only those that are ready will be there. And tonight, we are in the day of grace and you can come. Think of it as a step. Think of it as starting the race for Jesus' sake.